And if you'll turn with me, first of all, to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, I want to read verse 27. Acts chapter 13, verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. If you'll turn backwards to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Chapter 11 of the Gospel of Matthew, and our lesson, The Kingdom and Its Entrance. Chapter 11, and beginning with verse 11 and reading through verse 15. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you'll receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Then one verse of scripture in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke 16 and verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. I think we can recognize the common link here between Acts 13:27 and Matthew 11 and 13. Then the common link is all the prophets. In the one case, they heard not the voices of the prophets. And in the other case, Jesus is saying, he that hath ears, let him hear. One didn't hear. And to the other, he's saying, he that hath ear, let him hear. Now, the prophets prophesied of the kingdom. There's no question about that as you read through the Bible, and then the very natural way that you move into that thought in the New Testament shows you this. First of all, we understand the whole meaning of this whole statement in Matthew 11. All the prophets prophesied until John. What did they prophesy? Well, one paramount concern in the prophecies was the relating to the coming king and kingdom. All through the Old Testament, this was one of the paramount thoughts of the prophets, the relation or the relating to the coming king and kingdom. So much was that so that in the New Testament, the matter of the kingdom was taken for granted without any mention of it at all. The people came to the Lord without any introduction. They used that phrase, kingdom. This is how familiar they were with this thought, kingdom. I want God to help us to hear this morning. It's so important that we know as this age begins to close out and God begins to form that church that's going to make up the end time, the end of it. Now, the kingdom is not introduced as something which the people are unaware. Jesus didn't come talking about a kingdom and the people with a question mark over their mind wondering what he's talking about. They were aware from the prophets that there was a coming kingdom. They knew this. You take Nicodemus was a case in point. We have nothing in the story that Nicodemus said anything at all about the kingdom. He never mentioned the word. He started by saying, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher coming from God. And wasn't one word said about the kingdom. But Jesus interrupted him and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Notice that now. Evidentially, that was a thing in the mind of Nicodemus, and Jesus knew it. He knew that in the mind of that religious leader was the kingdom. And so he said to him these words, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You see, it was taken for granted, this thought of the kingdom. in the New Testament. How did they know? Well, it came from the prophets. Well, what was the culmination of the prophets in that connection? What was the final end of the prophets in that connection? Here it was. It was John the Baptist. He gathered it all up. He was that terminal point in time that all the prophets hinged upon. He was the turning point between all that had been and that which was to be. This is a statement. All prophesied until John. That's what we read here this morning. All prophesied until John. Now, from John on, what was the message? Well, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:12. Repent. Now, alongside that great statement, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you place the outstanding note of John in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now these are not two different things. They're one. The kingdom is at hand. Behold the Lamb of God. You're not talking about two different things at all. These prophets were talking about a kingdom, and that kingdom was embodied in this one that John says is the Lamb of God. What was the issue from Jesus' time? It's no longer prophecy, but it's actuality. No longer talking about something that's coming, it's about something that's here. It was a kingdom of heaven. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom is preached. Something they've been looking for has arisen. The prophets had prophesied about it. Now it is preached and as having come. And how did it come? It came with the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It came with the Lamb of God. What then, may I ask, is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? I think the answer to this question will show clearly what the dwellers of Jerusalem never saw, though they heard the prophets read every Sabbath. Now I'm talking to you that these prophets prophesied of a kingdom, and that kingdom came in with the Lord Jesus Christ. The culmination of the prophets was John. And he is the one announced that the kingdom had arrived, and its arrival came with this declaration, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Now, these dwellers at Jerusalem and their rulers, they heard this read every Sabbath. For 8 hours they heard it read, but yet the Bible says they never heard what was being said. I think the answer to that question of what is the kingdom will show us. Why? Listen, it's a solemn thing that the kingdom of heaven ever come close to anyone. Is that right? I said it's a solemn thing that the kingdom of heaven ever come nigh anyone. Amen. The Lord is going to judge everybody on this opportunity as if the kingdom of God coming nigh. While the very availability of the kingdom of God is opportunity. The fact that it's available. The Lord Jesus walked among the Jewish nation for 3.5 years. His presence among them was their opportunity. 3.5 years he walked among them as the Son of God, as the Lamb of God. And his presence among that nation was their opportunity. They had that opportunity. What terrible consequences followed their failure to recognize this. What judgment these 2,000 years of Jewish history. Your house is left unto you desolate. That's what he said. Because they failed to recognize the opportunity, that awesome declaration, your house is left unto you desolate. Was there ever a story of more awful desolation than the story of the Jews? As you look back on this 2,000 years of history, even so, that was only a parable of desolation. Something on this earth. What must the desolation be in the spiritual, eternal sense? I'll tell you what it must be: forsaken of God. If you don't recognize the opportunity now, then the desolation upon every human soul that fails. You look back at the parable of the Jew and the 2,000 years of desolation that's followed his failure to recognize the presence of him who was the kingdom, and think what an awful thing it is in the spiritual to that person with the opportunity yet fails to take advantage of it. Forsaken of God. What is the kingdom? The answer to that can be given in 3 or 4 brief statements. First of all, the kingdom of heaven was a new life altogether. How many of you have been born again? Then you know what I'm talking about. The kingdom of heaven is a new life altogether, other than that which men knew anything about. In all history, from Adam till then, there came in with a new birth, a new life. There came in with the kingdom, a new life other than anything that men had known anything about from Adam till that present time. That's the meaning of except a man be born again. That is the meaning of that statement. Now, it's not merely swinging over of this old life into new interests. Not merely that I redirect my thinking and interest from one of pleasure to religion. No, no. No, it's another different life, a life that never was before. It was a life given from God himself to man when that man brought into the kingdom of God. It wasn't just a changing of his ideals. It wasn't that he'd been schooled by man and disciplined by man, but it was an altogether different life. The very essence of the kingdom of heaven is that it is a heavenly nature and a heavenly life given as a distinct gift at a crisis. Another life. That is the kingdom of God to begin with. Another life. How wonderful that is. I don't think we've learned, or we make enough of that, folks. Amen. In this age, when it's just common talk that everybody's been born again. You know, we use that term in the most glib manner today. But if there's no evidence of a life that's different than any kind of life this world knows anything about, you don't have any trouble distinguishing between the life of a dog and a human. No, animal life is different. You know the difference. And whenever a human being has received this life from God, then men recognize that there's a different life. A different life. Second, the kingdom of God is a new relationship with God. I just kind of when you come to this situation and this thought about the kingdom, there has to be kind of a hush grip your heart. Paul said alienated from the life of God. He talks about people that were without God, walking in darkness, alienated from the life of God, past feeling, with no communication whatsoever between them and heaven, spirit dead, the heaven closed, alienated from God. But when a man comes into this kingdom, then one of the meaning of that kingdom is that it's a new relationship with God. It's not simply that we become interested in God. Oh no, man becomes interested in a lot of things. But it's not that we just become interested in God. It's a relationship which is of the essence of the life itself. You know, I've got God's life in me, so there's a relationship between me and God on the grounds of that life. You know, there's a relationship between a child and his father and mother because they have the same life. there is that relationship, you can destroy it or you can cultivate it. But there is that relationship. And when a man or woman is born again, the relationship is the essence of the life that they receive. There's a new and altogether different consciousness so far as our relationship to God is concerned. Now, the great truths of the gospel is that a new revelation of relationship with God has come by Jesus Christ. He said, I manifested thy name unto men whom thou gavest me out of this world. John 17:6. And the name of that which he is speaking represented a new relationship, and that relationship was Father. Oh, my. Never before. But that relationship manifested by Jesus as to the family of God was a relationship of Father. Not in the sense of general and universal fatherhood, as we know it from creation, but a specific relation brought in by the Holy Ghost, entered into the life in a definite and critical act. I mean a crisis moment in that human's life when there entered into that human a life from God that brought about a relationship whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Which means my Father. Oh, that's the most wonderful thing in the world, to know that God is our Father. Not just in that sense that He made us, created us, but that He, hallelujah, is our Father. We can talk to Him. We can go to Him. He loves us. You know, I have two children. And I, you know, my love for those children over these years and is just, you know, there's just no way that you can describe that. There's no way that a person can describe that, the love for children that are yours. And then their children, the grandchildren come along. Man said to me the other day, I had my grandsons with me in a store, and I gave him a bill and he gave me change, and the oldest one wanted to count the money. So I handed him that money, and the man said, these must be kin to you. I said, man, is there any closer kin than a grandson or a granddaughter? Is there any closer kin than this? I wouldn't know about it if it was, except that kinship between me and my Father. Abba, Father. My Father. Thank God. Oh, my. God sent forth the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6. When did this happen with you? What was the very first lips of the new life? Father, uttered out of new consciousness. When was that uttered? When did it come out? Amen. When you were born. That word meant different. When you was unsaved. There may have been, when you talked as a religious crowd, as God being the Father of everybody. That's one way. You know, in a sense, in that He created, that you can say that. But that He is our Father. It's a different thing when you say it, my Father. Hallelujah. When you've been born again. When His very life is within us. And you can say that, Father. Oh, not now, God, way off somewhere that we're afraid of, but Father. Father. When we were born of the Spirit, there is a new relation. Thank God. There's a new relation. Third, though, the kingdom of heaven is a new constitution. Now, I'm not talking about the Constitution of the United States, or any such thing. I'm not thinking of a new set of laws and regulations, but I'm thinking on the fact that we are constituted anew with an entirely new set of capacities which make possible things that were never possible before. Oh, my. You know you can talk to God now and come in to God now. In a way, there's things possible in our lives that were never possible before. A whole new set of faculties have been made mine. Before I was born again, I couldn't taste and see that the Lord is good. My taste buds only handle food and drink and these kind of things. I couldn't really taste and see that the Lord is good. But I want to tell you, whether a psychiatrist believes it or not, I've tasted and found that the Lord is good. I've heard sounds that I couldn't hear before born again. I've seen things that man cannot see except he's born again. That's what I'm talking about, a new constitution, a new set of faculties. Not a psychiatrist in this town or the state of Texas wouldn't like to have you and me on the couch. Oh, they'd like to probe our subconscious and to see where all this nonsense he thinks is coming from. Amen. He thinks Mama stubbed her head on the floor when we were little, or something of an unusual nature happened to us to make us be such dreamers of a world we claim to see and be acquainted with. When we stand around God's altar and pray and he sees tears coursing down our cheeks, why are you weeping? Because I feel the presence of God. Where is he? He can't understand that. But there's something in me can understand it. There's a new set of faculties that makes this possible. The child of God, the member of the kingdom of heaven, is the embodiment of a miracle. Isn't that right? Oh, thank God there's no miracle on this earth like being born again. There's nothing that does such violence to human nature as being born again. Nothing. Why, a man come into the church, a drunk, a mean something, and walk out of here born again. The principal of our school, Brother Lozano, I never knew till a couple of weeks ago that he is a brother to Joe Lozano, the one that had the four strokes. That was healed watching our nighttime television program. Totally crippled, paralyzed, couldn't turn himself over. And on a Sunday night, he is watching a ball game or something. When it went off, we holy rollers came on, and he listened to it, and I was saying in that, while they were singing and worshiping, I was saying, you can get out of that bed if you want to. And he got to thinking I was talking to him, and in the course of it, God healed him. I mean, raised him up, four paralytic strokes, and then he was born again. Brother Apache told me, this last week we were talking, he said, Brother Clendon, what a miracle of God healing that man of four paralytic strokes. He said, I've never been acquainted with that kind of a miracle before. But he said, that is no miracle at all what he'd done to that man. He said, that is my oldest brother. That had to be the meanest man I've ever known or possibly ever lived. But said from that moment on, he was the most meek and humble man, weeping all the time. Oh, yes, we are the embodiment of a miracle. What jails and nothing else could do for Joe Lozano, God done it in 30 seconds time watching a television religious program at midnight. Thank God, what a miracle. Hallelujah. It's a new constitution. There's supernatural possibilities in everyone born of God. Isn't that something? I said there's supernatural possibilities in everyone that is born of God. What a tremendous thing goes on in the history of a child of God. What tremendous thing. We do not know all the forces which have been on the destruction of the child of God and how much this preserving represents an exercise of the power of God. Isn't that right? The Bible said we're kept how? By the power of God through what? Faith. Every day, every minute, we're kept by the power of God through faith. An unconsciousness in there That's the reason I say the lack of faith in this generation is demonstrated by the fact that that's all they can talk about. Real faith is just as common as breathing. I walk with God, and God's kept me. I come now to the end of the year 1981. If Jesus tarries till next Thursday night at midnight, 81 will be history, and we'll move into a new year. I've lived for God all year, and only God and the devil knows all that's been thrown against me and you to destroy us, but we've been kept by power that we weren't always conscious of. What a miracle. I'll tell you, to read your own autobiography or your own biography when you get to heaven is going to be worth going there for. To look back on the record and to see what God has kept us through. Why, there's folks sitting here been healed of cancer they never knew they had. You believe that? Sure they are. Amen. Friend of mine went and got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, walked with God for several years, had to take a physical examination for an insurance policy, and when they x-rayed him, the doctor wanted to know when he had TB. Oh, he said, I never had it. Oh, yes, said, you one time, you're a very sick man with it. He never did know it, but God healed him. Amen. God healed him. He didn't know when he got healed, but God healed him anyhow. Oh, I believe that. Oh, we'd have been dead many times if we could die many times. Hadn't been for God keeping us. Been lost if God hadn't kept us. The miracle. Thank God, kept by the power of God. Some of us know a little about that. Our survival is because of God's power exercised over immense and hostile powers. We are kept by the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? Walk in the will of God. You're safe as if you're in heaven with a door locked. Amen. Just walk in the will of God. Kept by faith. By the power of God through faith. Then fourth, the kingdom of God, what it is, it's the inception of a child of God. The inception of a child of God is a miracle. How can a man be born again? That's what Nicodemus said. There's no answer except God does it. No answer. You can't educate him into this. He can't go to Sunday school long enough to get this. He can't earn enough merits by never missing to get this. Can't preach enough sermons or give enough money. Can't happen unless God does it. Oh, hallelujah. Can't happen unless God does it. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? John 6:52. That's a rational question, isn't it? I can understand. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? That is, how can the child of God be supported throughout without anything here to succor or to help? How can such a thing be? How can it happen? There's no answer again except God does it. No answer whatsoever. If God does not help, the child of God will go under. You can't keep yourself. If God don't keep you, you're going to go under. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Amen. The consummation of the child of God is a miracle. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians 13:35. How are the dead raised up, and with what manner of body do they come? The answer to that is the same. God alone does it. Ain't nobody else get dead folks up. Lady wanted me to pray for her boy. Been dead 18 months. What do you want me to pray about him? I want you to pray God will give him back to me. I started to preach a little sermon to her, and God said to me on that phone, I just before I said a word, he said, be careful what you say. Don't you belittle me. Don't you belittle me. That's the very words of the Holy Ghost. Don't you say one word to that woman that lead her to believe I can't raise her boy from the dead. If I'm a mind to, he said, I can put him at that breakfast table this morning. And he reminded me on that phone. He said, let me remind you, preach, that when I raise my boy from the dead, men walked the streets of Jerusalem, been dead 1,000 years. I ain't got no trouble raising anybody from the dead. Don't you belittle me. Don't you say one word about me to nobody. You don't understand it, you just pray. You pray for a boy. If I want to raise him, I'll raise him. But you pray. Don't let it trouble your mind. But don't you say a word that'll belittle me. How are the dead raised up? Only God can do that. Whole matter is a miracle. From start to finish. It's a new constitution. Above and beyond the highest level of human abilities. Thank God. Isn't that right? It is that. Then further, the kingdom of heaven is a vocation. It's something for which to live. Something in which to serve. Something to bring into operation. The kingdom of heaven is a vocation. Thank God. It becomes a sphere and means of a new life. Right here. Ministry and purpose. Oh, I didn't know why I was born. I used to ask the question when things weren't just right. Why was a man ever put here in the first place? But I'll tell you, the kingdom of heaven, thank God, becomes the spear and means of a new life, a ministry, and a purpose. Glory to God, the child of God knows why he's alive, doesn't he? I said the child of God. He's the only one on this earth that knows what he's alive. The smartest philosophers that ever lived said that it all is a cruel hoax. It came from nowhere and it's going nowhere. But I didn't know where it is. I came from God and I'm going to God. I know why I'm alive. I know the true child of God has discovered behind everything else that which has divine intent and meaning behind everything. The kingdom of heaven is a new vocation, a new life, purpose, glory to God. We live unto God. That's what he says. We live unto God. That's the purpose of it all. The kingdom of heaven is from above. Therefore, it is transcendent in every way. Every way. Look at it. It's something that lives and brings life up to a higher level. That's what the kingdom of God. You know and I know. Look at your own life. When this thing took a hold of you, it lifted you up to a higher plane. It's transcendent in every way. Oh, when I think about where I was when the kingdom of God found me, when I was born anew, this life that lifts up, lifted me up. What was the old song says? He lifted me out of the miry clay and put my feet on a rock to stay. Thank God, that's the story of it. Amen. That is, if the new life comes from above, it'll gravitate back to its source. If this new life works in us, it'll be lifting us up, pulling us back to God. First of all, we'll see that this world is not our home. In Africa, while I was there this last time dealing with those preachers, I saw all through the years, listen, I take nothing away from anything, but all through the years, Christianity has attempted to pander to the culture. Amen. It don't make any difference what the culture is you come out of. You may be a Jew, you may be Italian, you may be Negro, you may be Russian, you may be any one of the races of people that God has allowed to be on this earth. But when you are born again, then you're not that no more. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. All are made one, and your culture hasn't got anything to do with it. If your culture is against the kingdom of God, then your culture will have to be dealt with by God. New world. First thing a man's got to recognize, he's not of this world. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. I'm not a Jew nor a Gentile. I obey the laws of the land. I go to Africa. I'm not a citizen of that world, but I obey their laws. Amen. I live in America, but I'm of another world, but I obey the laws. I recognize one thing. I'm not of this world. Thank God I'm of another world. Our conversation is in heaven. Amen. It was our home until we were born again. Now we don't belong here. The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now look. Now, in a very imperfect way, consider what the prophets were talking about and what you and I have come in touch with, and let us see what can be missed and what is being missed, not only by the world, but by people that sit in churches every Sunday. What's really being missed? Look at these words. The law and the prophets were until John. From that time the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached, and every man entereth violently into it, or presseth his way into it. Luke 16:16. Then Matthew 11:12. From the days of John Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Suffereth violence. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you this. It doesn't mean that it permits of violence. It really means it calls for violence. It's men of violence who take this kingdom. Men of violence. Here is a spirit of citizenship in that kingdom by force. Why? This is not merely an appeal to be in earnest, though it certainly means that. Seeing what a tremendous thing the kingdom is and what an immense loss will be suffered if we do not take it seriously. But you see, Jesus is speaking in the midst of things which are constantly opposing that kingdom. Every day on your job, every day when you do your shopping, every day everywhere you go, you stand to miss things that constantly oppose this kingdom. We're in the midst of a hostile world. Amen. There's a war on. And Jesus standing amongst those people that were constantly opposed. There's a whole organized system speaking with great prejudice. He's in the middle of that. He said to them on one occasion, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisee hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men." Matthew 23:13. There's everything from the devil to men to obstruct, to hinder what it requires to enter the kingdom of God. The world, the flesh, and the devil all have connived and joined forces to keep you out of that kingdom. Here's what Jesus is talking about. Amen. There's everything. If you can be hindered, you're going to be hindered. If you can be knocked out, you're going to be knocked out. You lay down, play dead, you're gone. That's all. If you don't resist it, you're not going to make it. It is every day at all times. You've got to resist the devil. Amen. There's a great deal more in the purpose of God for our lives than we've ever imagined. And if we enter into that, violence has to characterize our lives. Spiritual violence, you know. We must desperately mean business and come to the place where we can say, "Lord, I'm set upon all that you mean for me in Christ." That's what he's talking about. The violent take it by force. The lazy, the indifferent, they're not going to get anywhere. No, you're not going to make it. No, if you can be knocked out, you're going to be knocked out. Every little old thing, turn your plow, keep you home, stop you from praying, keep you from reading the Word of God, you're not fit for this kingdom. You won't make it. It's the violent that take it by force. The earnest. But it's more than that. It's men that have been upon it. Paul said that I might apprehend that which I've been apprehended for. Amen. There was that violence of spirit that's saying, "I'm going to make it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to be a part of this." Amen. How easily many lives are sidetracked simply because they're not desperate enough. Really never have seen what it's all about. Or if they have, they've been blinded by a world that they're not supposed to be a part of. You know, the worst curse of Christians is prosperity. We preach prosperity. I've saw people in this church that lived, every time I come here, I'd find them in the corner of this church praying. Got to make a little more money in the making. Don't ever see them more. Hardly ever see them in church time. That's the way it is, folks. You see, you become a citizen of this world. There's nothing so cursed to God like a world spirit. Say amen. Yes, sir. Get to having the little things and God's forgotten. Yes, sir. When it was hard and difficult, amen, you hear them groan, just open the door. You'd hear them groaning somewhere around this church of prayer. Got a little more than they needed, though. Didn't take much. How easily some folks are sidetracked. The only way we shall ever come into all the purpose of God is to be desperate, to be men and women of violence. To those who say, by God's grace, nothing or no one is going to stand in my way. I'm going on with God. No man, not even Paul, knew all that they were going to know. Paul was constantly getting unveilings into that in which he was called. He was growing in apprehension. Why? Because he was a man of violence. God meets us there. God meets us there. Oh, I intend to be more of a man of violence in spiritual matters in this year if he tarries. Oh, my. With the perverse, thou show thyself forward. Psalms 28:26. That in principle means that God will be to you what you are to him. Mr. Moody used to say, God will be no more fervent in answering your prayer than you are in asking it. If it don't mean anything to you, it don't mean anything to God. Yes, sir, God will be to you just like you are to him. That's what he's talking about. Amen. God will mean business if you mean business. There's a vast amount in the kingdom that we've never suspected. More for all of us than anybody on this earth knows. Is that right? More than anybody on this earth knows. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, makes it clear that even at the end of his life, there was still more to know. Listen, Philippians 3:10, that I might know him. That I might know him. Are we going to allow our life to be boxed up in the measure of what we know or within the measure of other people? Are we going to allow that to happen? We must not. It's the measure of Christ that's God's in, not what somebody else is and not what some little thing that you've got a hold of. Listen. Ephesians 4:13, till we attain unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No movement, no church on this earth has come to that yet, but that is the objective God requires to bring us to that. That we may be men of violence, that we may really mean business. Mean business. The gospel of the kingdom is preached. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is preached. Every man presseth his way therein. Presseth his way. Can you imagine those Judaizers saying to the people about Jesus? Be careful, don't get caught. I advise you to stay clear of that. Paul was always up against that. He's tracked down throughout his journeys by those very people. Be careful, it's dangerous. Watch yourself. That's always religion. Got its bumper stickers. Don't go any further than this. They've drew the maps up, but they didn't ride them far enough. Amen. There's still unexplored territory in this thing of Christ. And the violent take it by force. Jesus experienced the same thing and said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. It calls for violence. You'll not get in to begin with unless you're one of those people who do violence to everything that stands in the way of God's full purpose as revealed in Christ. You'll not even know what that purpose is. Never. If we're passive, there's everything to be lost. If we mean business, there's everything to be gained. Be indifferent to God, God will be indifferent to you. Mean business with God, God will mean business with us. Set your heart to seek the Lord and you'll be found of God. Continue to press your claim for the things of this world, and all the while you're losing the things that are valuable. the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. The violent take it by force. The kingdom and his entrance. That's the way in. That's the way to the full purpose of God. This world exists to sidetrack you, to enamor you with that which you cannot keep. Labor for it. Spend your life grasping for it. And one day we'll bury you and your kids will fight over it. But leave a heritage of a godly life. A young man working with me last evening, he was offered a job, $70,000 a year. And a place to stay and feed him. Go overseas to a country. And he said, I'll tell you, that's very tempting. But there's some things of more value to me than money and things. The man that had offered him the job had always criticized his religion, bowed his head and said, I wish I had what you have. Let's stand together and worship God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and love the Lord. Let's worship.